ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, I'm Patricia Karvelis, the host of the Politics Now podcast. 2026 is already shaping up to be another huge year in politics, with inflation remaining persistently high, lingering housing challenges, and now a royal commission getting underway. So join me and the sharpest minds at the ABC to cut through the political spin and bring you what politics means for you. That's Politics Now, and you can hear it on the ABC Listen app.
Donald Trump's tariffs are illegal. That's according to the US Supreme Court. So, when will President Trump give back to Australian companies millions of dollars they've already lost? And can he really now just apply a 15% rate to every single nation in the world? Today, Chief Business Correspondent Ian Verinder on the latest tariff chaos and what it means for the global economy. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Ian, why don't we start by considering what this tariff chaos means for Australia? On so-called Liberation Day in April last year, there was a 10% tariff across the board on all Australian goods entering the US, right? Just remind me what was in place.
Yeah, look, Australia was subject to a baseline 10% tariff on most goods that were exported into America.
Australia bans, and they're wonderful people and wonderful everything, but they ban American beef. And you know what? I don't blame them, but we're doing the same thing right now, starting about midnight tonight, I would say.
Although there was a higher tariff for some other goods, steel and aluminium, some copper products and a few other things. So, look, and I think it's worth remembering that America is not one of our biggest trading partners at all. I think it represents about 6% of our overall exports.
And that 10% across the board, just to point out, was a lot lower than many other countries faced.
Yeah, that's right. So in effect, it gave us a competitive advantage. So even though we were having to pay this tariff, our tariffs were much lower than other countries. Look at Canada, for instance. They had a huge tariff imposed on a whole range of different goods. And that's, of course, one of America's biggest trading partners. So because we managed to negotiate a 10% tariff as that baseline tariff, we were really, you know, doing much better than most other countries.
Yeah, although according to the consulting firm EY, those tariffs have already cost Australian exporters $1.4 billion. So it's not insignificant for them.
It's not insignificant for the individual companies, not at all. What you have to bear in mind is with tariffs, it's not the exporter that pays for the tariffs. It's the importer, which then passes on those increased costs through to consumers. Consumers buy less of the goods, and then they supposedly, this is the theory at least, switch to using American goods, but ultimately they pay more. Australian companies would have paid that money if they have an American subsidiary that is importing the goods from Australia. There's quite likely to be a whole range of smaller Australian companies that don't have an American offshoot who are using, you know, an American distributor or an American importer, and so it's those American importers that are paying the price.
Well, that brings us to last Friday, when the US Supreme Court, in a 6-3 decision, ruled that President Trump exceeded his authority when he imposed these sweeping tariffs.
The US Supreme Court has struck down President Donald Trump's use of emergency powers to impose sweeping tariffs on its global trading partners.
This is a major blow for Donald Trump. Tariffs are a pillar of his second term agenda.
Interesting that even two of Trump's appointees on the court actually voted against him. I mean, what a blow for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think he would have expected that at all. I mean, you had two justices, Neil Gorsuch and Amy Coney Barrett. They both voted against the tariffs. and they voted with Chief Justice Roberts and the three Liberal judges.
The Supreme Court's ruling on tariffs is deeply disappointing, and I'm ashamed of certain members of the court, absolutely ashamed, for not having the courage to do what's right for our country. They also are a, frankly, disgrace to our nation, those justices.
So that was a real blow to Donald Trump, and it's a major setback for the administration's second-term agenda.
Interesting, though, Ian, that the case was actually brought to the court by the boss of a US educational toy company, Rick Waldenberg. So a little guy has taken on the big guy, and he's won.
I don't take a position for Mr. Trump or against Mr. Trump. It's not political. It's about taxes, and they owe us money.
So, Ian, the judges noted that the Trump administration might need to refund billions of dollars to importers. Now, they say that would be a substantial mess. Oh, yeah, it sure will. So just tell me, Australian exporters, they're owed all this money back, are they? And how are they supposed to get it?
Yeah, well, I think there's even going to be problems with American importers trying to get the money back from the government themselves. So, you know, Australian companies, I mean, you're going to have to spend a lot of money on lawyers and chasing this down. It's going to be an absolute minefield. I mean, the entire episode has just been utter chaos. Donald Trump announces tariffs. Donald Trump introduces tariffs. Donald Trump freezes tariffs. Donald Trump changes tariffs. Donald Trump changes tariffs again.
Yeah.
It is just utterly chaotic for global trade and for companies worldwide. So it is going to be really problematic for American importers to try and, you know, recoup that cash. If you're an Australian company with your own import facility in America, you might have a chance doing that. If you're an Australian exporter and your trade has been damaged by these, I don't know that you'd have very much chance at all in getting anything back.
All right, so Ian, the Supreme Court in the US has overruled Trump's Liberation Day tariffs, but he was rather unhappy, of course, and so he acted. First, he implemented a new 10% tariff.
This is something we could have done, as Justice Kavanaugh said, we could have done this originally, but we're doing it now. And the numbers could be far greater than the hundreds of billions we've already taken in. Yet.
Now, tell me about that. And how can he just implement a new tariff when the courts just told him he can't have them?
Well, he's invoked a new section or another section of the Trade Act. So it's Section 122 of the Trade Act. They were anticipating problems, and they had a plan B in place to do this. Now, you would assume that there's going to be a legal challenge to that as well. I mean, you know, interestingly, the original tariffs, the 10% tariffs that we were paying, that came in under a 1977 law, which was the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. And George W. Bush used that once to freeze terrorist assets. But Trump, he decided to use the threat of drugs and fentanyl in particular and large and persistent trade deficits. But I mean, a large and persistent trade deficit has got nothing to do with an emergency. It is, in fact, just, you know, America's economic performance on the global stage.
Okay, so he brings in this new 10% tariff across the board in response to the Supreme Court's decision. And then 24 hours later, he just raises it again to 15%, which is actually not great for us, right? Because that's more than we used to pay.
It is more than we used to pay. And I think the important thing there is that it's also probably going to put us level pegging with a lot of other countries. So where we had a competitive advantage in that we were only paying 10% and other countries were paying, you know, upwards of 50 and possibly more on certain items, you know, we'll be put on a level playing field with a lot of others. But look, all of this may change overnight.
Yes.
I mean, it's turned the whole process into a farce, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you think back about what this was supposed to be all about. I mean, Australia has, for the past 25 years or so, run trade deficits with America. America has had the advantage over Australia when it comes to trade, and that's because of the US-Australia Free Trade Agreement that we signed back in the early 2000s. So that delivered America enormous advantages over Australia, and they've profited from that, you know, quite handsomely. Mm. And interestingly, after the Liberation Day tariffs were announced last year, that was all overturned because a lot of American importers thought, you know, we need to get in early and buy all this stuff from Australia before this 10% tariff is loaded in. And so for the first time in about a quarter of a century, we actually recorded a trade surplus with America. Mm. So perverse effects. Longer term, of course, I mean, that would settle out. But I mean, these are some of the unexpected consequences that happen when you start to muck around with this.
Yeah. Now, it does look like beef is exempt from this new wave of tariffs, but the head of Meat and Livestock Australia, Michael Crowley, he's pretty concerned that even though beef might not be included, lamb and goat meat will be. So it's just all over the place at this point.
Any duties that get added onto our products just simply add unnecessary cost. And the US was our largest market for lamb, for goat meat, and for beef in 2025. So it's certainly not immaterial and will have an impact.
The Trade Minister, Don Farrell, he is actually going to the US this week, and I gather he'll be trying to get to the bottom of things, which, again, might be difficult.
That's right. And trying to get some kind of clarity out of any of this is going to be extraordinarily difficult, and especially if you're not dealing with Donald Trump directly, because he seems to just change his mind on a whim, irrespective of what advice is given.
Well, Ian, let's consider now what this means for stability around the world. Now, after Liberation Day, of course, there was great concern that the tariffs could send the global economy spiralling into a recession. But that never happened, did it? Why do you think it didn't happen?
It didn't happen because these things take a very long time to really take effect. I guess a lot of economists thought that this would have a huge impact, firstly, on American inflation, and there's no doubt that it has created inflationary problems and higher prices for consumers. It hasn't been quite to the extent that was expected. I don't know the reason exactly why, but I think what you'd have to take away from this is that, look, if the impact of freer trade was higher growth and less inflation globally, then you'd have to take on board that the unwinding that will result in higher inflation and lower growth for the longer term. It's going to take quite a long time, but there will be a substantial shift away from America. And look, it is underway to a certain extent. If you look at what's been happening with the US dollar just in the past few months, we've seen a dramatic decline in the US dollar, down about 10% against the Australian dollar and many other currencies as well. And we're seeing American investors starting to take their money out of Wall Street and put their money elsewhere, Europe, emerging markets in Asia. So there's a shift that's underway, and it's a fundamental shift, and it will have an impact. It's just a matter of when.
And what about Donald Trump's agenda? Of course, tariffs are one of his big things, aren't they? Will they actually survive? And what does that do to the global economy when there is so much uncertainty about what's going to come next?
Well, it's not good, is it? I mean, you know, when you've got all this uncertainty and you just don't know what decision he's going to make, all based on who he last spoke to, it's like dealing with a king that's out of control in lots of ways. And I think he sees himself as a monarch, that he can make decisions about anything, anytime. Yeah, none of this is great for global stability, and especially when you wrap it into the diplomatic actions, the potential military actions that are afoot. This is all very, very unstable. All of this upheaval and constant second guessing on what the decisions are going to be. It's obviously not good for markets, but it's not good for the real economy either. I mean, if you're a business person there and you're thinking, I might invest X amount of dollars into this potential business, and you're thinking, well, I don't know what decisions are going to be made around that are going to affect that. I should probably just hold off until I get some kind of idea of certainty and stability around everything.
Mm. And for now, I guess we're just stuck with this new 15% tariff. For however long that might last, Ian.
Yeah, it might be tomorrow. Who knows? And I guess the big problem legally and constitutionally, it is the fact that it's been globally applied, just, you know, straight tariffs across the board on everybody. If America had gone to the World Trade Organization and tried to put up a sensible argument that China is and has been abusing its position in terms of trade, and here's the evidence, blah, 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 and we need to have tariffs on these goods here, here, and here, that would have been a far more sensible approach to take, and probably would have gotten some allies on board to try and fight that. But, you know, there's a great shift in sentiment globally about how the world sees America now.
Ian Verinder is the ABC's chief business correspondent. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed and Cinnamon Nippard. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.